Dang it. What was I saying? The human dongle.
Oh, get your finger out of my eye.
Way better now that you've stopped touching it.
Yes, I was...
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain, and the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain.
I'm so sorry I'm missing this week's episode of Okla Said, but I have a feeling Scott can totally handle it. I actually don't even know what he is doing, including me in this awesome project, but I'm thankful, I'm blessed, you know I am. Anyway, I am on vacation and I hope to be back by next week and ready for another awesome episode of Okla Said. Until then, educators, you know what to do. Go out and dominate the world.
Welcome back to Okla Said. As you just heard, Aaron is on vacation this week, so I'm flying the ship solo. We'll see how this works out. Typically, we have to do this together or it's just not quite the same. So we'll see. This was the fifth Sunday policy chat. So if you are a regular participant in the Okla Ed Twitter chat, every fifth Sunday that it rolls around, we discuss policy. And in Oklahoma, there is never a shortage of policy to talk about. Our chat tonight was, or our chat for this week was hosted by Sean Heim. He's the director of the OSSBA, and you can find him on Twitter at Sean Heim. So the overview for the chat this week is the teacher shortage, legislation, and school funding. And if you are paying attention to the news at all or watching anything that you're hearing, you will know that we struggle with all of these areas right now. In fact, I just saw a tweet this morning that said during the last legislative session, there were 1,200 different bills regarding education. And this was from a legislator. So it was a large number. It was in the thousands. And his response was, we don't need 1,200 pieces of legislation for education. And I thought that was pretty interesting, especially when we live in a, you know, small government, conservative sort of state. To have that much legislation seems weird to me. But hey, I digress. Our first question tonight, question number one. Oklahoma education groups are currently working on 2018 legislative goals. What do you think are the most important issues for Okla Ed during the 2018 session? And I think one of the things that we have to consider is revenue, just in general. We've had revenue failures almost every quarter last year, I think, and that is money taken out of school funding that was budgeted. So that money was spent and it's being removed. That's an issue for schools. And I know we schools aren't the only people that are impacted by that. I know that there are other entities inside our state that provide necessary public services. And when there's a revenue failure, they also feel that pinch, especially if they have already budgeted out that money. It would be no different than me making my monthly budget based on what I am supposed to get from my employer, and then my employer rolls through about halfway through the month where I already have all my bills to pay and got it all budgeted out and lined out, and my employer comes through about the 15th of the month and says, oh, you're going to have to take a 15% decrease in your salary just this month. We'll be back to normal next month. And so that just throws everything into chaos. So my thing is, with this next legislative session, something that will help education in general and our state overall is revenue. We have got to figure that out. Mean Mrs. H, who is at Joan Hagee, she said the teacher shortage and figure out what to do with writing tests for 5th and 8th. Don't remember the last time it counted and wasn't thrown out, which is interesting because we have decided through policy that testing is super, super necessary. But these writing tests have been invalidated for, I think, the past 2 years, maybe three. I can't remember for sure. So there's definitely something in there that needs to be examined. You know, how strong are these tests? Who's doing the grading and all of that sort of thing. So yeah, for sure, something to consider. And the teacher shortage is critical. Right now, Oklahoma has certified just a ton of emergency certified teachers. which not every certified teacher is bad. We need people to teach our kids. But there's something to also be said for going through a student teaching experience and having some of the pedagogy and the psychology and all of that stuff that goes along with it is critical. On the flip side, I know some emergency certified folks and some alternative certified folks who are absolutely amazing. Question two, what Oklahoma education policy or law would you add or take away that would make a big difference in the classroom? On this one, I am a firm believer that the RSA is totally, totally, totally a waste of everybody's time. Children in third grade are not all identical. They are not all the same. They are all unique as they should be. Just like I am not the same as Aaron. Aaron is not the same as me. And I am not the same as any of you listeners. And we learn things at different times. We explore things at different times. We come to understanding in our own time. And yes, you know, in third grade, things need to happen. Or in first grade, things need to happen. And when I teach calculus, I want things to happen over the course of that school year. That's all we get. But people learn at different rates. And so when you're learning something new for the first time, and you compare that same thing that a friend of yours is learning new for the first time, you guys could be picking it up at different rates. You may pick it up faster or slower than your friend who's learning the exact same thing. And our kids are no different. I just cannot comprehend why in the world we would give a test to third graders and make them pass it to go to fourth grade. I just don't understand at all. It's not legislated by federal law. Why are we doing it? Okay, rant over. Seth Meyer, who recently admitted to enjoying his new job, and he is at Seth Meyer on the Twitters. He said, love to see the state reward longevity. Give young people a long-term reason to enter a teacher prep program would decrease emergency Oklahoma ed. And I think there's something to that. We sometimes are in this culture of move around and find the best deal. Go to this district, they offer more than the state minimum. Go to that district because I can XYZ. And I think there's something to be said here. What is it that we can do maybe to reward those teachers who are still here, who are still kicking, who are still doing, who are still creating, who are still teaching? What is it that we could do to offer them? How could we reward their longevity? And I think that is a great, great thought. Question three, what plans do you have to share successes with legislators and your city community leaders? If you don't tell your story, someone else will. The thing is this, you need to take control over your message. So educators, if you're listening to this, community members who are invested in education, if you're listening to this, you have to share what's going on in your classroom. I would also argue that we have to share our unsuccesses as well. We need to share our real life struggles. We need to share what we can't do because our hands are tied by policy or our hands are tied by extremely limited funding sources. We've got to share all that stuff. I think it's unsuccessful that we can't share right now that all of our schools in Oklahoma are one-to-one schools with some sort of internet connected device, and we make those things available to all students no matter what their economic status is. I think that's a fail that needs to go out. I think some of the issues that we're facing now could have been prevented if some of our schools were way more open regarding some of the financial decisions that they were making as the slow squeeze was being put until it was just too late. And by the time we were completely honest with all of it, I think it was too late. We didn't have big enough voices sharing out some of those issues. And we've got to do that. We've got to share out our issues. We've got to share out our successes. We need to be real and authentic. Facebook is great. Twitter is great. Social media is great. How are we doing this? How are you communicating with your communities and with the people who are elected to represent you? And it all goes back to this. If you Google your school, if you Google your district, if you Google you, what shows up? Take control of that. Share your experiences. They are so incredibly important and so incredibly valid. It's not even funny. And so to get started on this, if you don't, take that risk. Do it. You can open a Tumblr account today in 30 seconds. You can start very simply blogging, and that's the easiest way to get going. And you can share that Tumblr post across all different ways. And Tumblr will also let you upload all manner of items and media. So consider all of that. But for sure, we've got to tell our stories. If we're not telling our stories, then somebody else is making that story up for us. And I believe that there are people in our legislature who mean well, who do great things, but they don't know my story. They don't know my story. I know my story. I need to share it. You know your story. You need to share it. So, Michelle Shelton, and she is at Ms. Shelton Fifth. She said, "Okla Ed, we share our story with a class student-run Instagram account, class Facebook page, and have invited legislators into our class. They came!" Exclamation point. I think that's awesome. A friend of mine in Stillwater has a Instagram account tied into the class mascot. So Anthony Purcell, look him up on the Twitters. He does amazing things with his math students. But the students sometimes are allowed to participate and share class from the mascot's point of view and take over the mascot's Instagram page. I think that's a great way to do that. I would love to see our high schools do something like this, where the Twitter account goes to a high school student during the day. Is that a risky thing? Yeah, you bet it's risky. But it also gives you their view of what's going on in class and in their school. And I think that's very, very important. Question 4, what is your school doing to be seen as the school of choice? And so one of the things that USAO has done this year is we are not raising any of our tuition or fees for the upcoming school year. They are staying flat, even though the funding for higher ed has been significantly cut over the past few years. This next school year, all students attending here at USAO will not experience any increase in what they would pay compared to last year. So I think that's a big, big, big challenge and a big, bold step to try and be seen as a good choice for students here in Oklahoma. And I think it's interesting, this question too, because we have such diverse communities that can do such amazing things. And schools just have all these different opportunities and resources now that they just didn't have when I was going to school in an elementary school. So I think it's a fun way to market your school and to show off all the cool, cool, cool things that happen there. Phoenix Rising, who is at Phoenix Rising with Wise, said, "Having an engaged, thoughtful, responsive, and visible superintendent goes a long way." And I believe Phoenix is referring to Rick Cobb, the superintendent of the Middell School System, and he is very great. Rick Cobb is excellent at sharing stuff through his blog, through Twitter, through Facebook, and communicating the message about what is going on in the Middell School System and how amazing it is to be there and why you need to check it out. And so if you don't follow Rick Cobb, you should definitely follow him. And Phoenix Rising also has great things to share and has challenged my thinking a time or two as well. So question 5, how would you develop and implement a regionally competitive teacher compensation plan to recruit and retain teachers? And we have to go back to revenue, in my opinion, for this one. If we have no revenue, if we can't lessen the load that shows up on every teacher's desk through policy, why would teachers want to come here? We have a challenging time as it is right now getting teachers to stay. It's very difficult. And not only that, but Oklahoma is seen as a good place to live. So our student roles will continue to grow. How in the world do we manage that? It's so important. My tweet on this one was that we need to eliminate at the state level anything that is not federally mandated. That would be one thing, and that can free up some money to do some other things that we can put into recruiting and retaining teachers. If it's not federally mandated, we shouldn't mess with it at all, in my humble opinion. Jack Reed, who is at JLReed2011, he said, "If I had the means, I would find ways to give incentive stipends for teachers who make a difference and find ways to grow my teachers with professional development." And I love that. I would love to be able to offer incentive stipends for teachers. But again, it comes back to how can we support that? How can we fund that? How can we put a plan into place that would allow that to happen? And professional development is so critical. I'm doing so much reading right now on professional development. And for educators that get about 40 hours of professional development on a specific thing. It can actually, if test scores are what drive you, and listen to this, it's backed up by research, 40 hours of professional development on a specific topic or pedagogy or curriculum or whatever has a statistically significant impact in a positive direction on test scores. And professional development is not always cheap and easy. And so no better money can be spent either. Professional development is critical to teacher growth. And the 40 hours is the magic marker. So if you can get above 40 hours, that has a positive impact on your students. Question six, in August, the Oklahoma Supreme Court will hear challenges to the 2018 budget. If any of the budget is thrown out, what should the OCLA Ed message be for a special session? There was lots of discussion here, and several tweets mentioned that the legislators should work for free. They didn't accomplish their goals during the time that they were given to do that, and why should they be compensated for going back and fixing a mess that they created? And part of me chuckles and agrees with that. And the other part of me is we have created a system which makes it extremely hard to get funding passed through our legislature. And so somebody's just going to have to bite the bullet here and not be held to their super, super duper conservative cut sort of thinking. That's got to be the message. We have to figure out this whole revenue situation. We've got to figure it out. Angela Clark Little, who is at Ange M. Little, she said, we also need to understand that there's a difference between what we want and what we can realistically get. And I think that's so important too, because oftentimes we have this pie in the sky look of what we think we can get and what's actually going to happen. I would love it if we could go out and immediately implement a $10,000 teacher pay raise. I think it's critical. I think it's way past due. I saw a graphic earlier today where they had the cost of living in Oklahoma is 87% of the national average, but the teacher pay in Oklahoma is 72% of the national average or something like that. And so how do you get that Oklahoma teacher pay up to the national average in cost of living? You know, we're not going to get a $10,000 pay raise next year. It's not happening, just like it didn't happen this year. But we can be realistic with what we want to get. We can probably make it a goal to get some sort of testing reform. Do we have to have RSA? I don't think we do. Do we have to have some of these other tests? How much money are we spending on the history test? You know, we don't have to have that one. So I think there are different things that we can do that can be completely possible and totally realistic that can help. And everything at this point helps. Question seven, it appears that Oklahoma is once again on its way to record number of emergency certifications. How has this trend affected Oklahoma students? I would like to see some data here regarding the students that have had emergency certified teachers versus non-emergency certified teachers. I think it'd be interesting to just look at this through the whole big picture lens. Because I know that some of those emergency certified folks have probably been amazing. But there's also teachers, regular normal teachers, who struggle and are more traditionally trained. So I'd like to see some sort of data that allows us to try and make the comparison between how an emergency certified teacher is doing when compared to a more traditionally trained teacher. And I think, too, you need to look at some sort of experience, maybe. So if you look at an emergency certified teacher over 3 years and compare it to the first 3 years that a first-year teacher, second-year teacher, third-year teacher follow that path and see. But I don't know that. I don't know where that data would be or if it's possible to locate. The Black Apple, who is at Black Apple for EDU, said the reality is I've seen first-year traditionally trained teachers and alt-certified teachers both crumble under bad administration. And that's a very valid point to consider. We need good leaders to get the most out of our teachers. And if you have if you have bad leadership at the top, it can really make a terrible, terrible impact on first-year teachers and those teachers who are emergency and alternately certified. We've got to support all of those people. They're super critical, super, super critical. Becky Maldonado, who is at Becky Laoshi, She said, I know some emergency certs who are very effective and some regular certs who are very ineffective. Hashtag stop journalization and labeling, which that's true. That's something that I wonder about. We all have worked with folks who we arched the eyebrow at because everybody knows that particular teacher is on the struggle bus or refuses to change or refuses to improve or still hands out the worksheet from 1973 because that's how they do it. And I know that's out there, and I know there's great people on both sides. So that's why I think there needs to be some data here, some looking at, some actual diving into what's going on. Question 8, what can we do legislatively and non-legislatively to remedy the OCLA Ed teacher shortage? Oh gosh, revenue. That's my repeating mantra for this whole chat. And then just eliminating anything that doesn't need to be done. There's so much that teachers and education systems have to do that is unnecessary or a waste of time. And I get that we need to be regulated. I get that we need to be monitored. I get that it's public funds going to public places and I's need to be dotted and T's crossed. I get all that. But I know that there's also a bunch of stuff that's just not necessary. And so I think we need to really examine what part of legislation can we eliminate now? Are we still following any sort of rules from 1943 that we can get rid of or update or modernize? Like, where can we modernize some of our rules and regulation and some of our legislative practices as it concerns education? Robin Fuchsa, who is the student teacher, manager, professional learner, queen of education at Oklahoma State University. She is at Robin Fuchsa. You need to follow her on the Twitters. She said, nurture autonomy, informed decision making, making that's best for student learning, have high engagement, have strong collaboration for communities of students and teachers. And I think that's great. Autonomy is so great. How often do we just get our dander up when we're told we have to do something? You have to do this, you have to do that. And it really kind of rubs us a wrong way. And so how can we develop some autonomy in the classroom where teachers are given some of that freedom to make decisions that are best for their individual students? The students that I taught in Edmond Memorial were completely different than the students that were over at Edmond Santa Fe, which were completely different than the students over at Edmond North. And that was all in just one community. My students in suburban Oklahoma have completely different needs than the students in southeastern rural communities. Southeastern Oklahoma rural communities have completely different needs than the students that Aaron works with through Epic Schools. I mean, we need some autonomy to address the issues that appear in our classrooms. And those issues are going to be different every year, and they're going to be different in every community. And so we do need that. And that comes back to the whole leadership issue. We need good leadership to support teachers to do those things. High engagement, for sure. That's how we all learn best, and strong collaboration. I think one of the best things for me personally from OCLA Ed and social media in general is the ability to collaborate now with people outside of my comfort zone, to collaborate with people outside of my building, and to get ideas from them through all of these things just by asking questions and getting feedback. It's helped me grow as a teacher. And if you'll take some risks there and try and develop a non-echo chamber in social media and Twitter, you can get some great feedback and find some excellent ideas. Question 9, Oklahoma legislators will soon be convening interim studies to discuss a number of education and budget issues. What do you think should legislators' primary focus? I don't know. There's so many things to think about here. There's things that need to be addressed, and I think a lot of them just have to do with how can we support all of these different things? How can we support our rural schools? How can we support our children in poverty? How can we support our schools, our hospitals? How can we take care of the whole picture here? And that's not an easy thing to do. Dalton Savage, who is at Mr. Dalton Savage, teacher attrition in Oklahoma has to be addressed. It is a serious problem that needs attention. And I think that's a strong statement. We know it's there. It's, and I think at this point in time, my view of all of this is trying to recruit people to stay on the Titanic after it had hit the iceberg. You know, it's clearly in trouble. And it's just a really difficult sell right now to tell people, hey, teach in Oklahoma. This is a great place to be. And it is a great place to be. The people are great. The schools that I've been in and the school administrators I've worked with have been fantastic. But there's so much more that goes on in education. And I think trying to figure out the teacher attrition here in Oklahoma, that's just critical. We need to create an environment where teachers want to come here, where they feel supported from those outside of the immediate school. And it needs to be a problem, an image problem. We have an image problem right now with teachers in Oklahoma just scattering everywhere, and we need to correct that. Teacher attrition, it's got to be addressed. Question 10, what are your expectations for your state organization? OSBA, the CCOSA, the OEA, PTA, PLAC, all these things are state organizations, and you can find all of them on the Twitters. And they all try and make sure that we're aware of legislation. They try and hold little town hall community meetings. They try and reach out. They try and share. All of these are important. They all serve a place. And again, I chose Becky Maldonado. And she said, educate the common people so they can make better decisions when electing officials. And I think this is an important thing to understand is sometimes in education, I feel like we're all yelling at each other about the issues, and it's not getting outside of us, the educators. We know there's issues. We know there's problems. We know there's things that can be corrected. We know there's things that can be fixed. We know there's legislation that can work. We know there's legislation that will hamper. We understand all of these. And sometimes I feel that we're just shouting to our own selves, and we're not communicating what is truly happening well enough to people outside of the education world. And so being able to educate the common people, those not directly involved with all of this, can help a lot, because even my own mom, when I talk with her about education, she's not aware of some of these issues that come up and some of the things that are said and some of the things that happen. And she's pretty aware of what's going on politically for the most part, but there are things that she doesn't get about the education process. So we've got to do a better job of educating folks that are not in education, how it all works. A lot of people in education or outside of education, I'm sure they look at bonds and go, well, why can't you use bond money to pay for teacher raises? Or why can't you use bond money to do X, Y, Z? Or why can't you just dip over here into that fund to pay for this thing? And it's just a situation where in education, we have all these silos, and the money cannot leave that silo. It has to only be spent on that thing at that time, at that place. And trying to get our general public to understand that is important. I just saw today, I think it's from Oklahoma Policy Institute, about a tweet relating the lottery and gambling funds. Like, how come that hasn't helped education? Where did all that money go? And the graphic showed that money's there, but then it showed right next to it how much cuts had occurred from our elected leaders that didn't make any difference. So we're negative funding, even though those gambling and the lottery money are going into it, quite a bit of it, as it turns out. So yeah, for sure, we've got to educate those that don't live every day. Boomsauce tweet of the night from my favorite question. I didn't really have a favorite question from this one. These were all good questions just in terms of policy and what's going on. And I think it's important to always have these conversations. So I didn't have a favorite question from tonight. And my Boomsauce tweet went to Kevin Heim. He's the superintendent for the hashtag CPS Reds. And you can find him at Coach57. And this just made me chuckle out loud. Boomsauce tweet of the night is this: blame the Democrats. I mean the Republicans. Whatever you do, don't fix anything. And I thought that was pretty funny. So there you go. I flew solo. I know that it won't be nearly as entertaining without Erin here. She is the life of the party. But thank you so much for tuning into Okla Said, the official Okla Ed podcast, as bestowed upon us by us. So next week, join me. I'll be hosting the Twitter chat, and it comes up this Sunday at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, like it does every Sunday at 8. You are more than welcome to join us. If you can hear my voice, please, please, please join us for the Okla Ed Chat. It is a lively, fast-paced hour of discussion, and we truly do have people from all over the United States who participate. And it is an excellent place to learn, to meet, to hang out, and you don't want to miss it. Give it a try. So my chat next week will be looking, I just really want to challenge you. So I've been reading The Innovator's Mindset by George Koros. I think it's an excellent book. And so my questions are going to be coming kind of from that, challenging you for this upcoming school year, especially regarding risk in your classroom with your students, risk with your teaching practice, some things like that. So come participate. Let's see what we can do. And let's see if we can grow. And let's see if some cool idea gets its genesis on the Sunday night chat. The cool thing that you're going to do the show. So there you go. There's the Okla Ed chat for tonight. And you know what to do, Okla Ed. And educators all over, go out and dominate the world.
We're only saying you're doing fine, Oklahoma, Oklahoma.